seated. Let us bow our heads together for prayer. Oh God, we thy people find ourselves on a journey with him who went to the cross for us. Sometimes the journey is marked by comfort, Lord, for thy son bids us to lie down in green pastures and to drink from still waters. What a comfort it is, O Lord, to rest in your everlasting arms and to feel ourselves forgiven by the great God of the universe of all of our sins. Make us to lie down in green pastures, the green pastures of thy care, even now, our Father, and enable us to drink from the wellspring of living water which only thou canst give. Yes, Lord, we are on a journey with thy Son. And sometimes that journey is marked by joy, unexpected and unbelievable. Sometimes you prepare a table before us that we have no reason to expect, yet there it is, before our very eyes. Sometimes you fill our empty cups to overflowing. Thank you, God, for the blessings of the journey that spring upon us like manna from heaven, like marvelous serendipities, and overwhelm us with joy. But forgive us, O Lord, for most often taking credit for these gifts ourselves and for forgetting your goodness. And forgive us, too, for too quickly forgetting your gifts ever existed when we have used up half a cupful and fret because only another half remains. Yes, sometimes our journey with Christ is comfortable and joyous, O God, but sometimes it is not. For to travel with thy Son means to travel to a garden where even prayer is an agony. And more than that, traveling with thy Son means to travel to a cross. O God, this day, may all thy children in this place and in every place who find themselves presently walking through a dark valley that know that they travel not alone, even though they walk through a valley of the shadow of death. May we fear no evil, for we know that thou art with us. And, O God, may all of us, comforted by thy rod and thy staff, the rod and the staff of thy presence, know that the eternal God of goodness and mercy goes with us all the days of our lives, and that we shall dwell in his house forever. In the name of him who went before us, and yet who walks with us still, we pray. Amen.
The text for this morning's worship is found in the Old Testament, Exodus 14, verses 10 through 18. When Pharaoh drew near, the people of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians were marching after them. And they were in great fear. And the people of Israel cried out to the Lord, and they said to Moses, "Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have taken us away to die in the wilderness? What have you done to us in bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this what we said to you in Egypt? Let us alone. Let us serve the Egyptians. For it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the wilderness." And Moses said to the people, "Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be still." The Lord said to Moses, "Why do you cry to me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward. Lift up your rod and stretch out your hand over the sea and divide it, that the people of Israel may go on dry ground through the sea. And I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after them. And I will get glory over Pharaoh and all his hosts, his chariots and his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariot, and his horsemen."
Some time ago, my family and I took a brief trip down to the Outer Banks of North Carolina, one of my favorite spots in all the world. And there I chanced to see something that I'd seen many times before, but in a sense, saw it differently, saw it in a sense for the very first time. I was watching sand crabs as they scurried to and fro along the beach. As I looked at them, however, I saw them in a new light because recently, prior to that, I had been reading. Reading something that made me realize that crabs and people have something in common, and I'm not talking about crabby people necessarily. In my reading, I had discovered that in order to live and grow, crabs must from time to time molt, M-O-L-T, which means that they discard their shell with their familiar creature comforts and create a new one. In the meantime, between the shells, they find themselves betwixt and between, exceedingly vulnerable, extremely open to attack. They find themselves exposed. Now, I can identify with a sand crab, and I have some feelings that there are some seminary students within the sound of my voice who can as well. Are there not times when each of us feels betwixt and between, exceedingly vulnerable, caught between the shells? In the text that was read a few moments ago, we read again about Moses and the children of Israel finding themselves in such a predicament. Back behind, they saw a cloud of dust put there by the hooves of Pharaoh's chariots, Pharaoh's horses. Back behind, they saw a cloud of dust. Out in front, they saw the swirl of treacherous water. They were vulnerable. They were betwixt and between. And in so doing, they gave to the English language a new phrase, between the devil and the deep blue sea. Perhaps even you find yourself right now in the middle, confronted by such powerful forces. Perhaps you're in the middle of a life change. I've spoken with several of you in recent days and have heard stories like that, of individuals who have come here changing their lifestyle rather radically. One said to me, I gave up my $50,000 house, my several cars, my card which let me in the country club, and I came here. That's a story oft repeated in this place. Some of us find ourselves in the middle of a life change then, caught between the security of home in the past and the call of the future that has brought us to Wake Forest. Some of us here find ourselves in the midst of changing jobs or changing communities. There is something about change that always is exciting, for it opens up new possibilities for us. But there is also trauma connected with change, the kind of trauma that rips not only one's possessions, but one's very soul from one place and its secure relationships as one journeys into the bewildering unknown in a move from one place to another. Some of us here find ourselves between work, between one job and another, out of work, as it were, caught between a steady income and a steadily dwindling bank account. Some of us know something about being caught in mid-age, caught between the generations, caught between the times. One said to me not so long ago, I feel caught between the teenage crisis on the one hand and the crisis of aging parents on the other. Many of us feel the mid-income squeeze. We are not rich enough or poor enough to be taken seriously. A lot of us find ourselves in the middle of one conflict or another. Pastors know something about this in churches where sometimes we experience pressure from two sides at once and we feel caught in the middle with nobody happy with us. Mid-age, mid-career, mid-class, mid-management. When you're in the middle, between the shells, you're threatened from both sides, shot at from both ends. I recall a motion picture I saw quite a number of years ago with that comedian Red Skelton in it. Perhaps you remember old Red. This particular movie had to do with the Civil War, and I don't remember Red's connection with it exactly. But I remember one scene rather clearly. Skelton found himself between the lines. The blue-clad troops from the north were on one side of him, and the gray-clad troops from the south were on the other. And he was hidden in some bushes, and he didn't quite know what to do as the shells exploded over his head and the bullets whistled by his ears. And then an idea struck him. Grabbing some uniforms here and there from dead soldiers nearby, he constructed an ideal uniform, half gray and half blue. And he sewed up a flag. On one side there were the stars and stripes, and on the other side there were the stars and bars. And then with a great deal of bravery and gusto, he marched off between the lines, and everybody cheered on both sides. and the fighting ceased for a moment. And then, as you might suppose, the wind changed, and the flag blew around on its staff, and everybody suddenly got angry and began to shoot again, this time directly at Red. Have you ever felt that way? Caught in the middle, exceedingly vulnerable, shot at from both sides. The point is, there are times when we, like the crab, find ourselves skittering sideways on some windswept beach, between the shells, exposed, vulnerable. Several years ago, Johnny Mercer wrote a song about such a condition. In that popular song he wrote, "You've got to accentuate the positive, eliminate the negative, lash on to the affirmative, don't mess with Mr. In-Between." But the trouble is, we can't help messing with Mr. In-Between. That's precisely where many of us find ourselves right now, in-between, in-between, coming out of one time in our lives, but not yet fully into another. We are on our way in the wilderness. We are vulnerable. We are like the children of Israel on the banks of the sea. So what's the solution to this bewildering predicament betwixt and between? As I look at the text that we looked at together a few moments ago, I see three suggested answers to this bewildering predicament. First of all, notice the suggestion suggested by the children of Israel themselves, the solution they suggested. Said they, "Moses, what have you done in bringing us out of Egypt? We always liked slavery in that place. After all, it's better to be a slave alive in Egypt. Better to stay there and be a slave than to die in this God-forsaken wilderness out here betwixt and between, between the devil and the deep blue sea, between the past and the future, between these two hells." There are many modern versions of that same solution in our own time. The more difficult modern life becomes, the more tempting it is to retreat into the supposed bliss of the past. The more tempting it is to sit at the piano with Archie and Edith Bunker and play and sing, "Those Were the Days." One example of this is the current wave of nostalgia that we are experiencing in America right now. Everything seems to be going colonial. Furniture, pots and pans, everything. I like colonial. It seems to me, though, there's something deeper here than simply liking a particular pattern or style, than having a particular taste in furniture, or than simply celebrating our nation's bicentennial, or educating ourselves about the past. It seems to me that all of this indicates that our hearts are crying out for simpler times, a Currier and Ives time, when God was in his heaven and all was right with the world. And that's a rather natural reaction, is it not? There are a couple of problems, however, with this attempt, this desire to retreat emotionally to a time long ago and far away. In the first place, it's not possible, we know that. For decades, man has dreamed of a time machine that he could get on and be transported backward through time and space. But time always has and always will move forward. It's impossible for a crab to put himself back in his old broken shell. He's outgrown it, you see. And it's impossible for man who has been led by God to break out of one shell ever to go back and be satisfied again. We don't fit either. And even if it were possible to go back, it is not desirable to retreat into the past. Thomas Wolfe was absolutely correct when he wrote, you can't go home again. If a crab is going to grow, it won't be in his old shell. If the children of Israel are going to find freedom, it won't be found in Egypt. And if we are going to fulfill our destinies, we must not dwell in the past. Look with me then at a second solution that we see in the text. The second suggested solution is the one given by Moses himself. Moses said, "Be still. The Lord will fight for you, and all you have to do is be still. Just sit back and relax and take it easy, and God is going to do it all for you." There are times when God's people need to be still. There are times when we're so busy being busy that we need to be still. There are times when we're so busy talking to God that we don't take the time to listen to Him. There are times that we're so busy that we miss the thousand wonderful things all about us that God is doing every day. We're just too busy to notice. The psalmist wrote, "Be still and know that I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth." But alas, far too many of God's creatures were too busy to notice. There's a time to be still. But that time is not when Pharaoh's chariots are so close behind that you can hear the thunder of horses' hoofs. And that time is not when the sea is so close ahead that you can feel its salty mist. In such times, it is not a time to be still. It is rather a time to be an active participant with God in doing what needs to be done. Moses' suggestion that man need do nothing while God does everything was a poor suggestion indeed. For when we find ourselves in the intersection with forces all about us on a collision course and us right in the middle, God expects us to join him in doing something about the situation. There is in the text, it seems to me, a third solution to this problem of being betwixt and between, being caught in the middle, between the shells. Listen to the words of God, as he says, "Why do you cry unto me? Tell the people of Israel to go forward, not backward into the past of Egypt, not standing still where you will be smashed, but forward. Continue your pilgrimage. Go forward, get into the water, head on toward the promised land." Beloved, let me warn you that following God out of a betwixt and between situation involved in those days great risk. It still does. We notice in that place that God did not promise any utopian security. He called his people to move ahead into open water, into the open sea. They didn't know for sure what was ahead out there in those strange waters. But God had called on them to trust him and to march out anyway, in spite of the fact they didn't have all the answers, in spite of the fact that they were still vulnerable. In this case, the risk and the trust led to a miraculous salvation wrought by God in concert with man. But following God is always risky. Let us underscore that. One day, on a Judean hillside, God again said, "Go forward." One day on a Judean hillside, God again said, "Follow me." One day on a Judean hillside, God again said, "Trust me." And that day, a carpenter from Nazareth walked not through the waters, but to a cross, and there he died, following his father's will. But in so doing, another miracle was wrought. He atoned for your sins and for mine. God calls each of us then to trust him, not knowing what the future holds, but knowing that whether it contains open roadways through stormy waters or painful sacrifice on some newly designed cross, that our Lord is with us, that the Lord God omnipotent reigneth, that if we travel with risk, praise God, we travel not alone, assured that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's what the children of long ago must have discovered about the God that they worship on the banks of the Red Sea and in the desert beyond. They discovered that they did not have all the answers. They did not discover anything about constructing some kind of permanent shell. They didn't discover how to fully escape the vulnerability of betwixt and between. But they did discover that wherever they went, God went with them. And that was the most important discovery of all. Some of us even now find ourselves, as we have already indicated, betwixt and between. We feel like the children of Israel caught between the devil and the deep blue sea. We feel like some sand crab between the shells. In such times, we must remember that the call to be a Christian is a call not to staticness,
but a call to a pilgrim journey. The call to be a pilgrim is a call to live betwixt and between, for we live between the times, between the time of Christ's coming in the flesh and the time of his coming again in power. We live betwixt and between, between the time of the earthly city and the time of the city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. The call to be a pilgrim, then, is a call to vulnerability. For as Christians, we are never totally isolated or insulated from evil forces which would crush us in the middle if they could. The call to be a pilgrim is a call, as Kierkegaard put it, to take a leap of faith, trusting God, knowing that nothing will finally separate us from his love. The Spanish have a beautiful saying, Vaya con Dios, which translated is, go with God. That is the message this day, fellow pilgrims. Vaya con Dios, go with God, trusting him, moving forward into the unknown. With him you go, knowing that we live between the times, between where we've been born, where we've been, and where he's leading us. But we go assured that we walk not alone. We go remembering that our God promises that finally everything will be brought to joyous completion for those who travel with him. Till then, we may be vulnerable, but we are accompanied. So let us trust him in the sure knowledge that we shall not only persevere, but by his grace, we shall triumph, for we travel with God. Would you bow with me for the benediction? May the road rise to meet you. May the wind be at your back. May the sun shine warmly on your face. The rains fall softly upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand.